Hi, this is Terry Griffith, and I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we are Bark Radio.
So, Terry, big day, huh?
It is. I'm very excited.
Why is that?
Well, this is our very first episode of Bark Radio. It's also a very, very nice spring day, and so the folks listening to this will probably hear the wind blowing and the chimes going, because it's just too nice not to have the windows open, regardless of the background noise. So, but I'm loving it. I'm digging spring.
It's gorgeous out. If we weren't in this room recording, we'd probably be out somewhere with our dogs.
Absolutely. Actually, right after this, we're going to take the dogs out and do some playtime, I think.
As it should be. And speaking of dogs, we want you all to know what we have at our houses. I have two Labrador Retrievers, Murphy and Cody. Cody's a yellow lab, and she's 8 years old, and I trained her for wilderness search and rescue. She and I are both retired from that now. And Mr. Murphy is a 4-year-old chocolate lab, 90 pounds worth of love, and he is my working therapy dog. Terry, what do you have in your house?
Well, I've got two cattle dogs. I've got Surrey, who's about 15 months old now, and she is an Australian cattle dog. Looks very dingo-ish. She's very thin stature. And then we've got Sparky, who's about 5.5 or 6, and he's a Australian cattle dog mixed with either a Rottweiler or a pit bull. I think it's Rottweiler though, based on the nose and stuff. And Surrey is doing some agility classes, and Sparky is doing agility, but I don't intend on really competing too much with him. He's just doing it for the fun. But he's also just started the therapy dog classes, which we're really excited about. So we hope to get some time in there with the VA hospital, do some stuff with kids, and get him out and about.
That's what it's all about with our dogs, folks. Now, Terry, just a quick aside. Are both of your dogs rescue dogs?
They are both rescue dogs. Surrey was found in a local neighborhood. She was a pup about 2 or 3 months old, broken leg, and someone took him in and got him to the vet. And that vet knew that we were actually starting to look again after we lost our previous cattle dog. And so we adopted her. And Sparky's really a recent adoption. We've had him about 3.5 months. Got him from a great organization called Bark. And he's just a great, fun dog to have. And the two get along fabulously.
There is nothing like a two-dog house, man. It's just it's just great because, yeah, they're entertaining, among other things. Sparky, I got to tell you, the first time I ever met him, I'm a dog trainer. So I'm always evaluating dogs even when I'm playing with them. First time I ever met Sparky, I knew that dog's meant to be a therapy dog. He is fabulous. People are going to so love him. So, folks, that's a good lead into what we want to talk to y'all about today. We want to talk a little bit about spay and neutering our pets. So, Terry, are your dogs both spayed and neutered?
They are. They are. I'm very diligent about doing that. We have with all the dogs that we've had. There's too many dogs without homes to be out there letting one, anybody breed or mate with them, and two, to increase that population at all.
Yeah, both my dogs are fixed as well, and that whole thing about too many dogs, too many cats, the Humane Society of the United States, I just looked this up on their website, they tell us that 3 to 4 million dogs and cats are euthanized every year in the United States because there aren't enough homes for them. Guys, do you want to really be making more? It's craziness. The dogs that are out there who need homes, by the way, Sparky has completely flipped me as far as the dogs I will have in my home for the rest of my life. To date, my labs have come from breeders as puppies. I'm never doing it again for this very reason, because I believe now wholeheartedly that whatever dogs are on the planet right now are the ones that we need to be bringing into our homes and taking care of them.
Amen to that. And a lot of the rescue groups have purebred AKC dogs. A lot of times they have their papers with them. People either don't understand how to work with a particular breed, or situations in their life arise where they can no longer afford it or can't keep the dog because of a move or whatever that is. You can get fantastic pets at these rescue organizations.
Absolutely, and there are all kinds of them. Your local shelters, specific rescue groups like Bark, But there are also breed-specific rescue groups. If I want a Labrador Retriever, that's where I'm going. I'm going to go on the internet. I'm going to put in keyword search for Labrador Retriever Rescue, Virginia, which is where I live. And I will find a rescue group that has, at any given time, labs who need homes. Yeah. Why would I not do that?
And every major breed, well, even some sub-major breeds, because cattle dogs, a lot of people have never seen an Australian cattle dog, which is different than a Sheltie or Border Collie. Short-haired dog, different breed, but there's rescue groups specifically to those types of breeds, and they're kind of obscure in some areas.
So herding breeds, rescue groups like for herding breeds, is that what you mean?
Well, I'm sorry, yeah. Specific to cattle dogs.
Oh, okay.
They get down into very granular.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen that a lot. Not just your big major breeds. If you are interested in a specific breed of dog, absolutely. Find out if there's a rescue group. There may not be one close to you, but so what? If you find the perfect dog and it's a couple states away, you can work it out so you can get that dog.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of groups out there that will help with transport between different regions. Pretty amazing stuff, really, is a lot of people putting a lot of time and effort into it.
Well, they are. And, you know, it's like we need to, first of all, help them with their resources. Any of these groups who you can give money to, please do it, because you can imagine what it's like. I believe when a dog leaves a rescue group or the SPCA or anywhere else, they leave spayed and neutered, even if they didn't come in that way.
Correct.
They've got all their current shots. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And so if you're looking for a good cause, find a local rescue group and share your wealth with them. One of the things that I want to talk about, Terry, is where and how to get your dog spayed or neutered. The obvious place is your vet. And it can be kind of expensive if you have waited longer than you might should have and you've got an adult dog who weighs a lot. It's pretty much by the pound because it's how much anesthetic they need when they put them under.
I hadn't thought about that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. My little Murphy, when he was a baby, it might have cost me $200. At 90 pounds, when I got him neutered as an adult, it cost me $500. So just remember that. And if you just flat don't have the money, talk to your vet about a payment plan.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of vets offering that. They actually have signs up in the offices now. That's a phenomenal idea because it's helping the people and it still brings an income to them.
Absolutely. And I love it because I think what I would call, for lack of a better term, modern vets are really into spay and neuter. Mm-hmm. They know the consequences of not doing that. They've seen it in their own practices. So, yeah, that would be my first place to check. After that, wherever you live, if you look in your phone book, look under Animal Shelter or Humane Society or Animal Control and give them a call. They may have a program in your area that gives reduced rates.
I've seen something, and I don't remember if it was SPCA or somebody who did a program on a certain day or a certain week you could come in, and it was spay and neuter for a puppy or kitten was, you know, $25 or
something. Oh, it's ridiculous when they do those special programs. Yeah.
And I see that happens periodically throughout the year, so you definitely check the internet for that stuff.
Well, and our local SPCA is extremely proactive in all of this, and if you have a very active SPCA in your area, ours has an ongoing spay and neuter program. They have their own vets on site. That's where they do it. And it's offered in the city where they are located to their residents for a really, really good price.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I know that the SPCA here is phenomenal operations. I mean, they've got a nice building and they offer all kinds of classes and stuff. I didn't realize they had vets on staff, though. That's amazing.
They do. And y'all will be hearing a little bit more about that because I'm starting to volunteer at our local SPCA, and what I know I will share.
Excellent.
Another couple of resources for folks. Get on the web and go to www.spayusa.org. This is an organization that may be able, again, to refer you to someone in your area who does reduced rate spay and neuter. There is another organization called www.pets911.com. Same thing. They may be able to help you find a resource in your area. So help is available. You just have to seek it out.
I think what we'll do too, and for folks that haven't been to our website yet, right now we're still getting it worked on, so there's a splash page up, but there's not too much else there you can do other than sign up for the newsletter. But we will get these links up on there, and we'll also have photos and stuff that go along with the audio casts that we're doing.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I just want to touch on briefly, there are a lot of myths involved with spaying and neutering dogs, and we want to talk about just a couple of them. Some people think that what their dog might get fat and lazy if they spay or neuter. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, if you've seen my dogs, they're lean and mean. Well, not mean, but athletic. They're lean and athletic because they're always busy, always doing stuff.
Well, and I love this quote from the Humane Society. The truth is that most pets get fat and lazy because their owners feed them too much and don't give them enough exercise. Now, how true is that, man?
There you go.
I love it. And actually, I had Murphy in for his shots maybe 7 months after I had him neutered, and he weighed exactly the same. Didn't put on an ounce. And labs can get fat. And he's not going to because I'm not going to let him. Because he is very active, just like your dogs. Okay, another myth. Oh, but my dog, is a purebred. Woohoo.
And?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, check this statistic out, guys. At least one out of every four dogs brought to animal shelters around the country is a purebred dog.
Yeah, I believe it. It's another amazingly sad statement.
Yeah. I mean, there are just too many dogs and cats.
Yeah.
Stop doing it, people. Stop doing it. I want my dog to be protective. That's a myth. What do you think about that, Terry?
I don't think that makes a damn bit of difference.
It doesn't. And you know who actually told me that the first time? I asked my brother, who had been a canine handler in the Air Force. And I was talking to him about this wonderful, sweet Labrador Retriever I had at the time. And he's like, "Hun, here's the drill. If your dog loves you, somebody comes after you, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
Your dog will protect you no matter what. It's their instinct."
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, two big goober dogs right now who are just sweet as can be. But I dare anybody try to hurt me.
Yeah.
So that's
nonsense. In the right situation, the dogs just
they know.
Go instinct. It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Got some good stories about that for future. Oh, yes, yes.
Write it down. We'll make another episode.
Absolutely. Okay, here's a good one. Another myth. I don't want my male dog to feel like less of a male.
Wow. Wow. Let me think about that one. Here's your sign.
I love this one. All right, here's the answer, guys.
I'm so sensitive.
Dogs do not have a concept of sexual identity or ego. Neutering will not change your dog's personality. He doesn't suffer any kind of emotional reaction or identity crisis when he's neutered. And I'm here to tell you, since I just last year had Murph, my big, beautiful chocolate lab, neutered, it didn't change him a bit. He's like, "Yeah, whatever. Let's go play, Mom."
Yeah. It's just amazing that people think like that. But then, you know, people kind of just don't seem to get dogs sometimes, or even just stuff.
Just stuff. A lot of this truly is common sense, but you know, there's so many preconceptions, we're going to try and bang as many of them in the head as we can.
That's why we're here. We're here to inform and maybe even occasionally piss a couple people off. But
it's
not
our job, man.
Yes,
if we do, well, that's life.
Sorry, we're trying to help.
Jeez. Now I got to tell you, this final myth is one that I've actually heard many times. "But my dog is so special, I want a puppy just like her." Now, Terry, we know you want another Surrey.
I don't have enough energy for another Surrey. Nobody has enough energy for two Surreys.
What do you think the odds are of you getting a dog just like your dog out of your female?
Slim to none.
Exactly.
There's so many variables in the upbringing of the dog and how the personalities come out and situation play into that. It's like when they clone them. You heard about the dog cloning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get one that looks just like the old one, but everything's not going to be the same. It's
Genetics are a crapshoot. Yeah. They just flat are. Yeah. And professional breeders, they'll work for generations on a bloodline to get specific traits. They fail more often than they succeed. And the reason that I was laughing at this one at the beginning is my first chocolate male, Max, y'all will hear a lot about, because he's my heart dog and the best pal I've ever had in my life. He's gone now, but people who met him were forever saying to me, "Breed him, I want one." And I'm like, go away from me. You're not going to get one. He is an individual animal. He has got his own personality. There aren't going to be two Maxes. You're never going to get exactly the same.
Yeah, and it's sad that people try that, and that they're only going to end up disappointed, and that makes the dog's life even rougher because they're not meeting the expectations, which are unreasonable to begin with, of their owners.
Human expectations.
Yeah. There you go. But human emotions on a dog, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, our bottom line is be a responsible pet owner. Dogs or cats, please get them spayed and neutered. It's hugely important, and then you can just press on with your life and have a blast with them.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that this is an amazingly important subject. Dee and I talked about what our first episode should be. And, you know, the spaying and the neutering, it's a big impact, and it impacts people around the world. And I think it's important we get that message back out there one more time, because somebody's not listening.
Absolutely. So you will hear us revisit this. We are going to run into scenarios that make us just go, they're not listening, and we will revisit.
Right. And you'll hear us. Dee and I are pretty frank, and then we're kind of maybe occasionally a little gruff, but with our heart's in the right place, and we're out here looking out for the best welfare of the animals and the welfare of their owners. And, you know, so again, we're here to help. And if we piss you off, we're sorry, but we're going to keep right on moving forward.
Absolutely.
So this is, we're going to wind this up. This is the end of episode one.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I know, this was great. It went by fast. We're going to be doing Bark Radio twice a week, formally. So there'll be 2 days a week. We've got to pick those days, but 2 days a week we'll be doing the show. And then we'll have special events that will also be posted on the website. And those special events will be at locations, interviews with certain people, some authors we've got lined up, some other folks that are doing pretty neat stuff with dogs, so we'll be doing interviews. All of that will come along. You'll find that on the website. Hopefully that'll all be up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And if you have questions, please get on our website. There is a form there. You can send us some emails and sign up for our mailing list.
And they'll be able to subscribe to the podcast?
That is correct, eventually. We're not quite there yet.
Okay.
We're going to get the stuff up on iTunes.
Cool.
Get that stuff out. We're still working on it. So it's a growing phase. We didn't want to not proceed because we were waiting on other technology things to get done. So we decided to get the word out.
So guys, join us bi-weekly. We aren't going away.